Right now on a special edition of Flashpoint, youth violence skyrocketing here in Charlotte. In many cases, young folks are both the victims and the suspects. Ahead, we hear from loved ones impacted by a growing crisis.
I don't understand why this person has to hate this person when they don't even know.
Plus, three of the county's top leaders working to stop the violence.
When we look at the direction we're going with our young people, it's certainly something that we should be really concerned about.
And later, the intervention program that's stepping in at the bedside of victims just hours after getting shot.
I didn't want to go back to the same environment. I didn't want to go back to the same situation.
I just keep saying to myself, we're not doing enough.
The pleas.
We need help.
The passion.
Our parents are struggling, so that means our children are struggling.
And the pain.
It's paranoia. It's fear.
A special edition of Flashpoint, seeking solutions to youth crime, starts right now.
The numbers are just staggering. Teenage arrests up 34% in the last year. And both loved ones and local leaders are stumped, unsure how to stop it. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ben Thompson. Over the next 30 minutes, we're seeking solutions to a problem that you'll see has no easy answer.
It's a trend becoming all too familiar.
Something needs to be done now.
Crime carried out by teenagers.
I'm tired of having the lingering thought that hanging out at this party might be my last.
The uptick started a year and a half ago. A social media challenge that caught the eye of young and impressionable kids. Teens exploiting a software flaw in Kia and Hyundai vehicles. Now they account for 70% of all cars stolen in the city.
When your child's not home at midnight, they're out breaking into cars or stealing cars.
But it's not just thefts. We're also talking about an increase in violent and in some cases, deadly crimes.
Conflicts, particularly among young people, are not being settled with words or even fists, but rather with the pull of a trigger.
The latest data from Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police shows shootings with teenage suspects are up 33%. And a community left wondering what is being done to save our kids.
For you to be just getting off work and for you to hear that your grandchild has been shot, you know, it's hard. It hurts.
It's a question that comes too late for the family of Nazir Taylor, the 17-year-old Rocky River High School student shot and killed back in November of 2022 while getting off the school bus. Video captures his alleged shooters taking off seconds after the crime. And now his family is making sure his brothers don't fall victim to the same violence.
Joining me now is the Taylor family, parents Chitara and Keon here in the front and then in the background. Brothers, Nissan, Avery, Kingston, thank you all for coming on. We do appreciate it. I know it's a tough topic.
Thank you.
Tell us about Nazir. What was he like?
Well, he was a bundle of joy, always happy, always playful. Just he had his youth. You know, I told him all the time, you got to get serious about something. He was just so goofy, just so fun. He was a kid. He was like a typical teenager.
He was supposed to graduate last year. Did he have some big plans?
Some of his plans, he wanted to be an internet sensation, like all kids. If that didn't work out, he wanted to drive trucks like me. So I was excited to get him on the road with me, put him in a truck and let him see the world, let him see the country at least.
Since that time, it's been almost a year and a half, youth violence has only gotten worse. What has it been like for you now knowing firsthand what it's like to watch this in the city?
To watch it was already a shock, but when it hits home, it's something totally different. So now it's paranoia, it's fear. And then it goes into isolation. You don't want to be out. You don't want your kids to be out. PTSD, like we struggle with a lot of stuff with teen violence. The kids struggle with a lot of stuff. So it's the constant worry because it's happening so often now. You hear every day on the news someone's getting shot, a teen getting shot. So it's in our faces.
Yeah, and as you all are still grieving, you're worried about your three surviving sons.
Oh, yes.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
And I definitely suffer from PTSD from this. I have to worry about them. It affects everything. It affects our finances. It affects our home. I get off work early every day to pick them up from the bus stop because Nazir was shot getting off the bus. So I don't want anything to happen to them. They can't walk home like normal children. They can't do normal things anymore because I'm so worried. I have to pick them up from school. I have to pick them up from the bus stop. I have to take them to the bus stop, take them to school. It just affects the whole dynamic. It does.
Let me bring you all in. Nassan, what do you think is the problem here? Why is there such a problem with youth violence, youth crime right now in Charlotte?
I just think social media plays a part with it because nowadays people, they just want to be like other people and they want to put on a facade and be people that they aren't. So when they see others doing what they want, they get jealous about it and they just, I don't really know. They just...
Avery, how about you? What do you see? Is social media a big problem here?
I would say social media is also a big problem. It's people, when they see other people doing good, they try to bring other people down because maybe they're not in the position that they want to be in right now. And then it's just always, like, school is a big problem too because at school, everybody wants drama at school. And then that just plays a role. Then they get on social media and bash other people. And then a little problem turns into something big. And then people are dying.
As parents, what's the solution here?
I think that the solution would be parents and not try to be friends with their kids. I think that, you know, this whole free range children and just letting them be without having any accountability over any actions that they have needs to stop.
We check phones. We look into friends. I make sure I know their friends. We go through their phones, we go through their social media accounts because everything plays a part, who they're around, what they're doing. I want to see, you know, parents need to be more involved. And it's not just the parents, it's...
everybody.
Do you guys remember the war on drugs?
Of course.
I think there needs to be a war on teen violence. That's what
Absolutely.
I think. It needs to be a war on teen violence. And when teens commit violent crimes with guns, they need to be held accountable. They really do. It needs to be an example for other people, because the guy who shot Nazir was out on bond. Yeah. So to his friends, it's like, oh, he shot someone, they died, and he's out. They need to be the example. They need to be the example. You need to
be held accountable. And then also, gangs. I don't understand why this person has to hate this person when they don't even know.
Yeah.
The music that they listen to, drill music, all of these things are influencing the youth and they glorify what they see.
Taylor, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I know it's a tough time to talk about these things, but I think your story is an important one. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next on this special edition of Flashpoint, a rare joint interview with the police chief and the sheriff.
I think what we're looking at is a failure in our system to take care of our young people.
Next, their calls for change and the help they need to get this crisis under control. Welcome back to a special edition of Flashpoint. We're seeking solutions to youth crime and also remembering those lives taken too soon. The life of 14-year-old Johnny McClendon cut short. The Garinger High basketball player killed in a shooting back in December. Police arrested a 19-year-old suspect. Johnny's case, part of a citywide problem. And now some of the city's top leaders are pushing state officials for help. Joining us now is CMPD Chief Johnny Jennings, Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary McFadden, and the leader of the group Mothers of Murdered Offspring, Lisa Crawford. All right, Chief, I want to start with you. The numbers, they're staggering. In 2023, juvenile arrests up 34%, shootings up 33%. Why is this happening now?
You know, that's a good question. If we had the answers, maybe we could do something to reverse it. But if you look at the statistics and those numbers you gave, it's not just that. We're looking at CMPD arrested over 3,000 juveniles last year. 1,700 of those were repeat offenders. And when we look at the direction we're going with our young people, it's certainly something that we should be really concerned about, and we should have that voice and people jumping up and down wondering what's going on and how do we reverse it. So it's very concerning to me to see this direction.
More staggering statistics here. The top three juvenile offenders last year racking up 122 charges. It begs the question then, Chief, how much of this is a juvenile crime issue, or is this just a few bad actors?
Well, I think it's both. I think what we're looking at is a failure in our system to take care of our young people. When you see that we are arresting young people for committing violent acts or major property crimes over and over again, and all we do is release them back into the environment that we took them out of, we have to look at where can we get them back on track in programs, whether that means detention or mandatory programs that we have to put them in while they're waiting for their court date. So it's just a failure in the system that we're not taking care of our young people.
Sheriff, let's bring you in real quick. Your sort of job is to handle the other end of this equation. You're in charge of detention. What strain is this putting on your office?
Well, it's putting the strain on my office because it's putting the strain on my partner's office. And I always say partners because we were partners, and this is an expert, as we all are expert in our field. And why I say that, because we deal with it each and every day. It is putting a strain on our office. When he says juveniles, anyone from 18 above comes to my facilities. Do we have the resources to deal with them every day? No. We just have to do custody and care. When they were talking about raise the age, no one prepared either one of us for raise the age. Now, simply saying that when they created raise the age.
Let me just stop you just to catch people up so they know. Back in 2019, went into effect in North Carolina. I think we were one of the last states for it to go into effect. It meant that 16 and 17-year-olds were no longer automatically charged in adult criminal justice system. So what implications did that have for you?
Well, we taking the 18 up. That's the issue. We were housing the juveniles, but that went away with the state. The state never prepared for these juvenile crimes, and they look towards us to have the solutions. We don't. It is very few times that myself and Chief Jennings are at the table together. They will either have him, and then later on they will find me, and then we have the meeting. So sometimes we don't even have the same meetings. But we should be in the same meetings because CMPD is doing a great job, my birthplace of law enforcement. Yeah. They're doing a great job, but then when the chief hands them off to me, we have to have a place to put them. But we do have a problem with repeat offenders. When we look at the statistics, car theft, there is a group of young men, 21, I think the last number it was 21 young men are still committing car theft. We're not saying we need to target them, but we need to pour resources into those 21 young men.
Having you two here at the same time, what would your message be to lawmakers in Raleigh?
Produce the funds and resources to support both of us. The manpower, recruiting, helping us recruiting, give us the resources, having the manpower and the funds to open a facility. Everyone says Mecklenburg County has a facility that could be open. Well, could you fund it, but also could you produce the manpower? If the state has a shortage of manpower now, how are they going to man this center in Charlotte? We have the best center, I would say.
You're talking about Jail North.
Jail North. It was one of the best centers in the state, if not on the East Coast. Politics played a big part. Does it need to be open if they have the manpower and they have the resources and they have the funding?
Yeah. You know, and the sheriff and I are on the same page. Look, I'm not here and being vocal about it is to bring attention to it. And if you bring attention to it, then somebody is going to look at it and say, we need to do something.
What kind of reception have you gotten from the lawmakers in Raleigh?
Well, if you ask the lawmakers in Raleigh, have they talked to me? They haven't.
Lisa Crawford, let's bring you in, head of Mothers of Murdered Offspring. There's only so many arrests that can happen and so many youth who can be detained and adjudicated. What do we do about this at a community level?
Well, you know, we have to start with parenting. I think we really have to look at our parents. We have to figure out how many resources can we give our parents? How can we help them help our children? Because our parents are struggling. So that means our children are struggling. And they're missing guidance. They're missing expectation. I mean, they got to see the world bigger than the streets of Charlotte. I mean, they've got to understand that they have bright futures and that we expect a lot of them. We expect a lot from them. But if we're leaving them to parent themselves, to just run around and just do whatever, then that's what we're getting. And we've got to do a better job at that.
Okay, what do we do about that?
You know, when they come in to the system, that gives us an opportunity to
to focus on them and figure out what is it that you need? How can we help you? But
welcome back to a special edition of Flashpoint. Too many young lives touched by an unfortunate spike in violence. Savion Lockhart was killed in a shooting in Northeast Charlotte last July. The South Mecklenburg High School student was just 17 years old. The investigation remains open. Ideally, preventing youth violence before it happens is the goal, but a reactive approach is also working to break the cycle for kids and young adults who survive shootings. It all starts bedside, in the hospital where gunshot patients are captive audiences as they are nursed back to health and offered a different path. But even if they commit, there is no guarantee they won't stray. WCNC Charlotte's Nate Morabito says that makes the problem so tough to solve.
They just shot a man!
As Chris Coltrane lay helpless.
Oh my God.
His three-year-old by his side.
You know, I got my daughter right here. She crying.
The young father pictured his all too short life.
Everything started flashing through my head like a scrapbook.
About to end.
I felt helpless, hopeless.
A disagreement led to a gunman opening fire on an unarmed Coltrane that day as he walked his daughter back from a Charlotte park.
I got injuries here,
there,
there, here, here, and I got another bullet right here.
Amazingly, he survived. Last summer, telling us he was a changed man.
I stay in my own lane.
Dead set on living.
Please, it's not worth it.
And hoping others headed down the same path would listen and learn.
Life is too short, man. Life is too short. You don't want to end up like me.
For Coltrane, a visit from a social worker during his lengthy hospital stay gave him a possible way out.
Well,
connecting him to housing help, giving him stability and a better shot at survival.
I'm glad to be alive.
But what he might do with that second chance is really only in his control.
This time you made it to the hospital. Maybe next time you won't be so lucky.
Dr. David Jacobs hopes every shooting survivor has a similar aha moment.
We've had 13 and 12-year-olds that we've been asked to see.
He's medical director of Atrium Health's Violence Intervention Program.
We're seeing younger and younger and younger patients that we're putting into this program.
Using funding from the City of Charlotte, violence intervention specialists evaluate willing gunshot victims for critical social needs and then write a prescription to get them on the road to recovery. Essentially treating the problem of gun violence like a disease, focusing primarily on survivors who range in age from 15 to 24.
Maybe they're not going to school. Maybe they're involved with drugs. There's some warning signs that things are getting worse and worse. It's easy to ignore those warning signs until you get shot.
Once the program identifies their needs, patients are connected with community referrals for everything from mental health services to employment readiness programs to housing. The still new program, modeled after successes in other parts of the country, commits to staying in touch with those patients for at least 6 months.
I don't want the public to think that this is going to automatically bring down the violence rate in Charlotte to zero.
By no means a silver bullet, but certainly the start of a potential long-term solution, one that'll take time to measure its true impact.
I didn't want to go back to the same environment. I didn't want to go back to the same situation.
You also have to take into account that intentions are just that.
I don't go looking for trouble. Trouble will find you.
After so much improvement, Chris Coltrane found himself back in trouble again in recent months. Records show he's currently facing domestic violence-related charges. Back in the court system, still alive, but his future uncertain.
Nate joins us right now. I think this is important because it shows there are no easy answers.
This is a real look. Look, you talk to Chris, you really believe that he wants to make a difference and make a change. It's not always that simple.
All right, Nate, thanks. Coming up next, some final thoughts on this trend that has rattled our city. Welcome back to a special edition of Flashpoint. We've been talking about the whopping increase in youth crime. Families say they need more support. Police say they need more resources. And we know community programs can play a big role. And that brings us to the old African proverb we all know. It takes a village to raise a child. It's going to take all of us, engaged and involved. And here at WCNC Charlotte, we'll keep seeking solutions in the days and weeks to come.